can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, and all of you be still. Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, ever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, oh, and all of you be still. Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by.
John, the 15th chapter and verse number 1. So good to see in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. John 15 and 1. Jesus talking here, he says, I am. I am what? I am whatever you need. So he told Moses, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. We thank you for the word. Thank you for the opportunity and the strength and the means to be able to get here tonight. Lord, there's some, Lord, that would love to be here that cannot be here. But Father, I thank you that you allowed us the opportunity. Father, help us, Lord, always to take advantage of the opportunities you've given us in this life. Lord, teach us something for coming this way tonight. Lord, the ones that was with us this morning may not be back with us tonight. God, maybe something was said in a song or the preached word today, Father, it would stir their heart to make them mindful, Lord. And I ask God that this week that you would water that word, that seed, fertilize it, God. I'm asking of you, Father, that it would bring forth fruit in their life. And Father, we just thank you tonight and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, she don't have a scripture, but verse 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word is what cleanses us and purges us. Amen. The word is what convicts us. Amen. The word is what saves us. The word is what keeps us. The word is what makes us free. Hallelujah. He sent his word and his word healed us. Amen. He says, every branch in me that bears fruit, he purges it that would bring forth more fruit. But he says, the branches that is not bearing fruit, he takes it away. The branch that bears not fruit is unprofitable to the vine. It is doing nothing to the vine, nothing of value to the vine, so he takes it away. This is like some of you that garden a little bit, and I've told this story before, and on a tomato plant, they have, you know, if you look and where one limb goes out, a branch goes out of the main stalk, if you're not watchful, a little sucker branch will come right in that little corner there. And what you do, you just take and pull them little suckers off, you know, because they're not going to bear no fruit. They're just going to suck the energy from the plant and you don't get as good of tomatoes, you know. That's what they say. I don't know. And I had me a little tomato plant out there in a bucket, you know, and it was going pretty good, you know, and had them blossoms out there all over it, you know, and I went in the backyard one day and I come back by and I looked and every one of my blossoms was on the ground. And I says, I don't understand that. I went in the house and I told Connie, I said, every one of my blossoms is off my tomato plant laying on the ground. She said, I picked them suckers off. I said, no, that's not the suckers, that's the tomato. She heard me say to pull them suckers off there, they'll grow better. I said, no, you just got all my tomatoes. She's a city dude, girl. Well, I couldn't say much because I didn't know much more than that myself, you know. And I'm a man, but when you don't bear fruit, he said it's no need to be on there. He cuts it off and they gather it and throw it into the fire. It is unprofitable. It means it's useless. It's detrimental to the plant. That's what it means. It will make the plant extinct. Something that does not bear fruit will go extinct after a while. You take some animals that don't reproduce or bring fruit, that what will happen, they will grow extinct. Amen? And eventually they will not be. And that's the way the church, if we are not fruitful in the things of God, what will happen is Christianity will be extinct after a while. If people keep going the way they're going in the church, not being fruitful. Amen. But then he says, to the one that bears fruit, he said he purgeth it. Well, what does purge mean? Purgeth means to cleanse. It means to prune. You know, we would think that because we're bearing fruit, he'll purge us. In other words, lift us up. But no. He cuts us back, if you will. Amen. He just furthermore prunes us back. Amen. And if you think about it, you would, in the carnal mind, you would say, well, look at that branch is already doing everything it can do, and now he's cutting on it. But the gardener knows how to best take care of that plant. The Father that has created our lives know how to give us a successful life. And he knows what is good for us and what's not good for us. And he knows how to trim that thing out of us that should not be there, that's hindering our fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. Amen. So what he does, he takes and he prunes and he cleanses and it means also to cleanse thoroughly. Did you ever wonder, I want you to just think about yourself a little bit. Did you ever wonder why the Lord seems to convict you over things, but you see other people that they live their life loosely and worldly lives, and they don't do any work in the kingdom of God, and they don't come to church faithfully, and you can't depend upon them, but yet they seem to be just fine and like everything is well. Did you ever wonder why that is? Did you ever wonder why that if you were to try to do some of the same stuff, the Lord just starts dealing with you and you feel so bad and guilty? How many knows what I'm talking about? Do you ever wonder why? You know why? Because the Lord purges you because you're fruitful. The God is working with you because he's fruitful. Those people are not fruitful. They're cut off and they'll be cast into the fire. He can't get any, they're not profitable to him, but you are. That's why he's working with us. That's why, thank God if you got conviction. You ought to thank God that when you do something wrong that you feel condemned. Thank God that amen. Hallelujah. How wonderful God is to us. Hallelujah. He purges us because you're bearing fruit, and he works with us that we would bear more fruit, that we get more rewards that we're talking about this morning. He said in Matthew's gospel in the 13th chapter, this is goes along with the 8th chapter of Luke, and I'll go over in a minute and talk about and explain the sower. But here he's talking about the parable of the sower, and after he's finished talking about it here in the 13th chapter, he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 10. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why? Because the disciples was fruitful. They was not fruitful. Amen. God shows you things because you'll do something with it. No need to show some people things in the kingdom of God because they ain't going to do nothing with it. Amen. Verse 11, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. See, ever who is fruitful and bearing fruit, he said, I'll purge you that you'll bear more fruit. So he that has and he that's doing will be more abundantly blessed. Amen? You'll have more things. I mean, God, you know, if you can't be trusted in the little things, how in the world can God trust you in the big things? But if you'll be faithful in the little things, God will promote you and purge you and get you prepared for the greater things in the kingdom of God. Amen? Just makes sense, doesn't it? Amen. It says, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. To some people, it don't make a bit of sense why y'all come back on Sunday night. I mean, you got enough this morning. In fact, some people, if you just go twice a year, that's good enough. Easter and Christmas. That's why sometimes on Easter we just say for those of you that come this morning, we just want to say happy Easter and Merry Christmas. Because we won't see you again till Christmas. It's kind of hard, but it's true. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with the heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes. Look at the one next to you, said, you got some beautiful eyes. Why? Because you see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You see not with fleshly things, but spiritual things. You know the importance of coming to the house of the Lord. You know the importance. There's some people out there in the world, and they think that they can see all the right things. And man, all the time, they're blind as a bat, getting in all kind of trouble. And they can't see past the tip of their nose. They get locked up somewhere down in a dungeon prison, and they say, I can see now. In the dark prison, they can see. Have this light turn on. Oh. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Now, Jesus explains this parable, the sower. You read it when you get home, start earlier in chapter 8 of Luke. But I want to catch it in verse number 11 where he's explaining. See, he told the parable of the sower. And then if you read further, any parable, if you just read further in the Bible, explains. Some people say, well, he speaks a parable. I don't understand it. Or in sometime like in the book of Daniel in his prophecy. And he said, man, I don't understand it. Well, read further. He'll explain. Everything's explained in there if you just read further. And so he explains it. Disciples said, what do you mean by this? What was it meant by? You know, we didn't understand it either, you know. So he revealed it to them. And it says here in verse number 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God right here. And those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's people who come to church and they actually hear the man of God preaching, and they hear it in their ear, and they're tossed, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know to act on it or what. And, you know, I don't know if I want to get saved. I want to live that life. I don't know what I want to do with it. So what happens? We dismiss church and they go out the door. And what happens? The devil picks it, the birds. That's where the birds, the fowls of the air, comes and he takes the seed away, and then they go right back out in the world cussing and smoking, drinking, doing all the stuff they want to do and just don't feel nothing bad about it. Verse number 13. And they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe in a time of temptation fall away. They actually take and get moved by the word, which is the seed. They get moved by it in the service. And they race their engine. And they come to an altar, maybe shed a tear. And they say, I'm going to do a great work for God. But as soon as they get out there, they pop the clutch and the thing goes dead. And they don't do anything for God. You know, I heard the old saying, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. I think every one of us in this building intends on doing a great work for God. But how many of us will? Those that come on Sunday morning, you know, intend to do a great work for God. There were some came to the altar this morning. It's not back here tonight. Came to the altar, knelt down, and probably said, God, I want to have those rewards. Lord, I want you to use me, God. I want to be in a place I can get rewards and use me. They ain't even back tonight. They intended. They was like this right here. But it fell on a rock. And a rock, you can't get the root in a rock, can you? Plant a seed on a rock. What happens? They have no root. And so they die. Verse 14, and they which fell among the thorns are they which when they heard and go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. All three of those scenarios right there, none of them brought fruit. Why? Because they wasn't purged. You got to be purged. See, there's things in our life that is choking the seed. There's cares of this life, and there's the rocks, and there's situations that we get stuck on ourselves, and we go do our own thing, do it in our way rather than God's way. And the word cannot grow in our life because it's not good ground. The only way to get good ground is to purge the ground. You got to get all the stuff out of the ground that's going to cause that seed to deteriorate or to, you know, stop growing. Amen. And so what happens here, Jesus says that he's the true vine and my Father's the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. He prunes it. That'll bring forth more fruit. He'll make us able to be more fruitful than we are. How many bears more fruit today than the day you got saved? You've been purged is why. Amen. So all those other scenarios, none of them produced fruit, ever brought any fruit to perfection. But verse 15, it says, this is the one that's been purged. Listen to it. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest heart and honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Because they allow God to purge things out of their life. Where other people kick and say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. It ain't nothing wrong with that. I can do that and still serve God. It ain't nothing wrong with that. And you know, I don't have to do all the preacher says. And I don't have to go to church. And I don't have to do that. And they never bring any fruit to perfection. They're not good ground. But good ground are they that will allow the gardener to say, here am I, Lord. Whatever you need of me and whatever, Lord, is not right in me. David said, Lord, search my heart and try my reins, God. If there's something in me, Lord, get it out because I don't want to hinder the word and the work of God. Amen. So it's like in the book of Revelation, the first, the second, third chapter is talking about the seven churches in Asia. And if you'll read every one of them seven churches, you'll find yourself sitting in one of them churches. Right here. These four scenarios here of the seed being sown, you'll find yourself in one of them four scenarios. You'll find yourself. Read them. Amen. He purges us and he purges our ground, our lives, so that we will be good ground to bear more fruit. That's why he said in John 15 and 2, he purges us that we would bear more fruit. Amen. Matthew, third chapter, verse number 11. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is, you know, he is greater than I. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand. And he will what? Thoroughly purge his floor. He's talking about his church. Matthew the 16th chapter. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The problem today, men are trying to build the church. And Jesus said, I'll build the church the way I want it to build. Amen. I'll build your life the way I want it to be built, or I won't build it at all. That's what he's saying. So we have to come in line with the word of God. Amen. Is it not true? It's true. Whose fan is at hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into the garner, but he will what? Burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Every branch that bears not fruit, he'll burn in the fire. He says it in the 15th chapter of John. John 15 and 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Verse 2 says, more fruit. Here he says, much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Read it backwards. If you're not bearing fruit, then you're not his disciple. And if we're not bearing much fruit, we're not his disciple. John 15 and 6 says, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth what? Shout it, fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Amen. He's telling us this. He's showing us this. That our life, you know, we are to be producing more fruit in our life today than yesterday. If we've been saved a year, we ought to be producing a lot more fruit today than we was a year ago. How many agrees with that? We're to be increasing. In fact, I challenge you to get your Strong's Concordance down and look up the word increase. And do you a little study in the Bible where it talks about increase. You know, so often we want God to increase us. What does increase mean? Increase means to do more. It means to be more. It means to be more in quantity and quality. Amen? I mean, don't you think you do the things of God better in quality today than when you first started? You kind of learn a little bit better, huh? It also means to enlarge. And most time when we want increase, we want God to increase us. It's the prayer of Jabez. How many has ever heard of prayer of Jabez? It's over in Chronicles, the prayer of Jabez. A man wrote a book on it, made a fortune off of it. All you got to do is read it out there. And the prayer of Jabez, one part of the prayer, he said, Lord, enlarge my coast. You know, that's what we say the prayer of Jabez. Lord, give me this and give me that. And Lord, I need this. And Lord, hear this. And I want this, Lord, and I want this. And the Lord said, well, I need you to do this. And Lord, I need this. And I need this, Lord, and I need this. And the Lord said, well, I want to send you here. And Lord, I need this. And Lord, I need this. And I need this. Amen. Come on now. We forget about, you know, increasing his coast. Increasing in the things of God. We want to increase in the, I want a bigger car, a bigger house, a bigger bank account. I want better clothes. I want a better job, making more money, you know. I mean, we got our mind all wrapped up in all this, but what about, Lord, what can I do to increase you? We're like David when David built his house of cedar, this magnificent house of cedar. He built it, and he's looking at how, wow, look at what I have done here. And he looks out the window, and he sees the Ark of the Covenant down there in a tent, and he convicted his heart. He said, Lord, I forgot about you. Amen. I found out a long time ago, if we'll take care of the kingdom of God, he'll take care of our little possessions. Oh, yeah. I mean, a good scripture put on your refrigerator is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. When we put God first in our lives. So we need to increase. Do your study on increase. Do your study on profit and growing. It's all interlinked together. Increase. We're growing in the things of God. He tells us to grow in the knowledge of God. Grow. Be multiplied. You know. I mean, that's what he wants us to grow in. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:10. Listen. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. We need to increase in the things of God. Well, the only way I know how to do it is to allow God to cleanse us, purge us. Amen. There's some things in our life that would hinder us. I'm not necessarily talking about sin, but we've allowed other things to come in and get between us and the S-O-N. And without light, it can't live. You know? You take a plant and you take and lay something over on a bush, big old heavy board or something, that plant will start growing like that. You know? I mean, it's just crooked. I mean, we've allowed things in life to do that. And God says, I need to purge those things out that you can be fruitful in the things of God. Amen? How many agrees with that? We do. That we can increase more and more. It's about a profit. Every business, any business that does not create a profit goes out of business. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. What is the profit of the church? Souls. And if we're not seeing souls saved, we might as well close the door. What good is it? We're just coming to make ourselves feel good. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the lost world that's outside these walls that we to reach every day. That's what it's all about. And if, I mean, we could come in here and sing and shout and praise the Lord and jump the pews and it's all wonderful and good. But what, at the end of the day, what good is it if we've not increased in souls? I venture to say, I don't know, but I venture to say when we started in the little trailer down the road, you know, we had, I don't know who we had, 10 or 15 people. If 23 years later we had 10 or 15 people, I might well come to the conclusion, Lord, I ain't increasing. I better do something else. Evidently, I'm not allowing you to prune me. Maybe I need pruning, Lord. Maybe we need pruning, Lord. Hebrews 6 and 14 said to Abraham and to us, surely blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. I mean, think about God. It's always everything increases. Every flower, every tree, every animal, every human being, every one of us. We was all little bitty humans at one time. Brother Mike saw a little baby and he said, what do you say today in the restaurant? Babies are like little what? Little people. They are. I mean, every one of us. Can you imagine? Everyone. Boy, I'm having to reach way back. Little bitty babies. Every one of us. At one time. But we grew. Amen. We grew. And whether you realize it or not, just you coming and hearing the word of God, even if you've not done a work in the Lord, you have grown to some degree just by being in the house of the Lord. Because you're being fed the word of God. And he says, you know, one place in the Bible says, how many of you can, add a cubic to your height, but just trying to, you can't, it just comes natural, don't it? By eating. You quit eating, you quit growing. You die. But, you know, it just comes natural. Amen. This morning, at the end of the service, I'm almost finished. Be nice to you tonight, but get home to my wife. No, I just can't. My dad went to run a revival one time. This is years ago. He evangelized for a while, and I've heard him say that one time, it was on a Sunday night, I think it was, or some night, anyhow. Pastor's wife said, if you'll get out by a certain time, what time it was, said, we'll get out early enough to catch gun smoke. Of course, you know, that didn't sit well with Daddy. You know, I would have probably said, well, sister, won't you just stay home and watch it? So you won't be hindering the service. Amen? I don't know. But I mentioned this morning the talents. Now, some of you didn't understand what I was talking about because I'm not good at explaining, or either you're slow of learning. I think it's the latter, or the first, rather, not the latter. I think I'm not good at explaining. He says in Matthew's gospel, let me read it to you. Matthew's gospel, the 25th chapter, verse 14, it says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave one 5 talents and another 2 and another 1 to every man according to his several ability. Now it's not that God had respect to person here, or this man rather. I mean, he's using it as an analogy of God and the church and our talents. But what he's saying here is, if I had a skill saw and I need the board cut, I'd give it to this man right here. But I would not give it to one of these young men right here and tell them to take and cut that board. Why? Because his individual ability. Amen? Now, if I had a little handsaw or something, I might would. Here, y'all take this handsaw. Y'all need to exercise. Amen. It's not that I love, you know, Brother Steve more than these guys, but you know, you see what I'm saying? That several ability, that means your individual ability, whatever you're capable of doing. In other words, he knew that one with five was capable of increasing and operating these five things and doing it, okay? And this more responsibility is able to do it. The one with two, he was able to do this responsibility. And the one, this is their capability. This is what they could do. They could do it. They could increase this. Then he says, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey, verse 16. Did I have that one? Oh, I don't have it? Okay, maybe I got it right here. No, I didn't. That's it. Okay. Y'all know the thing. Anyhow, he came back. And the one that had five had earned five more talents, right? The one that was two, you know, perhaps the five and the two was more pruned and more purged. And he had four, so he had doubled his. And the one that he had given the one to, he just gave the one back. He said, here, I knew you was a hard man. You know, not sowing, you know, where you reap and all this stuff. And so I hid it. But here it is. I got it right here. What profit is that? What good did it do this man to leave with his... Why even have that servant? What profit was it? See? I mean, any business don't make a profit. And when Jesus, you know, was there when he was 12 years old and he was in the synagogue and he was teaching in there, talking and astounding them. And Joseph and Mary left and got a little ways out. They looked around and said, where's Jesus at? And they went back and they found him in the synagogue. And she began to fuss at him. And he says, woman, it wasn't a disrespectful thing. It's just, woman, know ye not that I'm about my father's what? Business. 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 Church is a business. Kingdom of God is a business. And it has to show a profit for us to win souls. And so what did he do? He took that one from him and he gave it to the man with 10. That's why I told you, if you don't make it, I'm going to get yours. He gave it to one with 10. And he says, take the unprofitable servant out and cast him into the fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What did he do with the vines that didn't, in the 15th chapter of John, that didn't bear fruit? They cut it off. They gathered it and they burned it. That's what men do. They don't hold on to more vines. Branches, they burn them. Amen. Hebrews 5:12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, get saved. And to become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Tell you a while ago, there's several ability. Some people can't, at their process of growing, can't use meat right now. They need milk of the word, because meat would choke them to death. But after a while, you need to get off. When you start getting teeth in your mouth, you get off the mother's breast milk. Amen. And you get on the meat at the table, because you can't, that milk won't sustain you forever. It just sustains you till you get some teeth. Amen. Why aren't you born with teeth? I don't know. Ask God. Jacob said that he lost his first tooth down here. Steve was telling me, he says, that big tooth down under there went and pushed that other one out. He said, and when I get all my big teeth in there, and then all my big teeth come out, I'm going to get them fake teeth that I can take out sometime and go, look, mama. That boy's a trip. Takes after his grandma, I'm telling you. He's dramatic. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised both to discern, to discern both good and evil. Amen. You're matured. You're the one with five. But I want to give you that other opportunity. You go ahead and stop the CD, brother. I'm going to just talk about this talent here.